رسوله الكريم أما بعد فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم Our subject Shaitan's plan for man The month The holy month of Shawwal of the year 1411 after the Hijrah Equivalent to the month of April 1991 We are congregated here in the Masjid of Primrose Park After Salatul Asr, which we have performed in Jama'ah, Alhamdulillah, all thanks and praises are due to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and we send darood and salam upon the beloved messenger of Allah ta'ala, Sayyidina wa Nabina Muhammadur Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and upon his family and upon his companions, the sahaba ikram ridwanullahi ta'ala alayhim ajmain, during the holy month on Sundays, the four Sundays of Ramadan, during this holy month of Ramadan, we dealt with the subject and we have brought it to the stage where Nabi Adam and Hawa alayhum as-salam are in Jannah and they have been betrothed. The nuptial ceremony has been performed by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and the khutbah of nikah was what we dealt with last week. For a brief recant of going over it and a brief summary, I found this particular khutbah so enchanting. We ended off with that, but to join it to today's lesson, I feel we should start off with this particular khutbah again. It fits in with today's lesson. So I will go over it. If you grant me a minute and a half, we'll do this khutbah, and from there onwards, we'll take up the story. It is as follows. In compliance with the command of Allah Ta'ala, there was great happiness and great rejoicing among the malaikas with regard to the marriage ceremony of Adam and Hawa alayhum as-salam in Jannah. The wedding would take place under the tree of Tuba, a tree in Jannah bearing the most delicious fruit in Jannah. The gems and the jewels and the emeralds and the pearls of Jannah, dazzling in their beauty and splendor, were placed as gifts before the couple, and the malaikas of the seven heavens graced the nikah ceremony with their auspicious presence. This was by their request. They had requested Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the malaikas of the seven heavens, to be present at the marriage ceremony of this new creation or human creation and the most auspicious and the most virtuous and the most honorable creation of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The last major creation of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Malaikas had been created first, the jinns had been created thereafter, and now was being created the human creation of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And this human creation of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala was the afdalul makhlukat, the most honorable amongst the creation of Allah. All the malaikas wished to be present at the ceremony. A divine nikah khutbah was performed in which the following words were used by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And I commence now the khutbah in its English form. All praises belong to Allah. Honor and glory is the mantle of Allah. Power and might is the strength of Allah. Entire creation are the slaves and the servants of Allah. Prophets are the messengers and the friends of Allah, meaning the awliya Allah, and Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam is the beloved and the final messenger of Allah. Then the khutbah continued as follows. Everything have I created, says Allah, everything have I created to testify to my oneness and to my indivisible unity. Be witness, O my angels, and all the celestial beings of the heavens and the bearers of this universe, that I, Allah, bearers of this universe, that means those who carry the 14 firmaments, that I, Allah, with my creative strength, with my almighty power, have performed the marriage, the nikah, of Adam and Hawa. And the true witness of the marriage of Adam and Hawa is my tasbih and my tanziyah and my tahleel and my taqdis. There is none worthy of worship but Allah. Allah is one, and Allah hath no partner. O Adam, you and your wife may henceforth dwell in Jannah and enjoy the fruits of Jannah, with pleasure, with delight and with contentment, but go not near this tree, for then you will be unjust, and on the two of you is my salam, and my mercy, and my blessings." Unquote. That is the end of the khutbah of nikah of Adam and Hawa alayhum as-salam. Thereafter, Adam was inspired by Allah Ta'ala to say these words of praises of Allah: Subhanallah, walhamdulillah, wa la ilaha illallah, wallahu akbar, wa la hawla wa la quwwata illa billahi al-aliyyil azim. Allah is pure, all praises belong to Allah, there is no God but Allah, Allah is supreme, none have the strength and power of Allah, Allah is the mighty, Allah is the powerful, Allah is the omniscient, Allah is the omnipotent. The heavens were lit up with the majesty of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The malaikas were praying and glorifying Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The nuptial ceremony, meaning the wedding ceremony, of the father and mother of mankind was a unique event in heaven. There was tremendous excitement and fervor among the malaikas in the heavens. The angels surrounded the pair with greetings and blessings and showered them with heavenly gifts and presents. This was a moment in time that mankind and the angels would never forget. They would treasure this in their memory forever. The reception given by the angels to Adam and Hawa alayhum as-salam was an unforgettable one. The entire heavens rang with the praises of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and men will never be able to comprehend, no matter how it is explained to them, mankind would never be able to comprehend the true nature of this event of the nikah of Adam and Hawa alayhum as-salam in the heavens. And those were my last words on the last Sunday of Ramadan al-Mubarak, and we commence therefrom. In Adam rose the desire for Hawa alayhum as-salam. When he heard a sound, when he heard a voice, "O Adam, beware. Hawa will not be halal for you until you have settled her dowry, until you have settled her mehr." Adam said, "O Allah, with what must I settle her dowry? I have nothing, no possessions, Ya Allah. How must I make payment of her mehr? Everything you possess, O Allah, you the owner and the malik of everything. I myself own nothing whatsoever. So how am I supposed to, O my creator and sustainer, how am I supposed to give a dowry, a mehr for Hawa, to make her halal for me?" Adam said, "O Allah, with what must I make settlement of her dowry?" Allah Ta'ala said, "Recite Darood salutations 10 times on Sayyidina Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam." Same salawat that you and I recite. The same salat ala nabi. You see where the value lies of this. Recite, O Adam, recite Darood. That means to say salutations and blessings in the name of Sayyidina Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. On hearing the name of Sayyidina Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, a name with which Adam had become acquainted soon after receiving his ruh, he had seen this name in Jannah, and Adam became, on hearing this name and request for Darood as the mehr for Hawa, Adam became extremely anxious and desirous of seeing Muhammadur Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala inspired Adam to look at his fingernail, whereon, by the command of Allah Ta'ala, appeared the figure of Muhammad Mustafa sallallahu alayhi wasallam. On seeing him, Adam was swept with a feeling of fatherliness and a feeling of tenderness. on, by the command of Allah Ta'ala, appeared the figure of Muhammad Mustafa sallallahu alayhi wasallam. On seeing him, Adam was swept with a feeling of fatherliness and a feeling of tenderness for Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam would be amongst his progeny, amongst his children. With fervor and with zeal, Adam recited the 10 daruds and expressed faith and belief in the risalat of Sayyidina Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam. Allah Ta'ala said, O Adam, the 10 darood you have recited on Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam holds great significance. This darood holds high merit, and it is due to this darood that I have bestowed many favors and blessings upon mankind, and have also made Hawa thereby, in other words, through this darood, halal for you. And so it came about that Adam and Hawa were finally betrothed in the true sense of the word, and Adam's days of loneliness and desolation in Jannah came to an end. And so in bliss, in contentment and happiness, amongst the peace and the calm of paradise, as well as the comforts and pleasures of Jannah, they passed their time, the couple passed their time, praising and glorifying Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and offering their immense gratitude to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This is how the Quran Majid reports this event. Now let's turn to the Quran. I've given you from the ahadith and the traditions the story. Now let us look how the Quran puts all this into a nutshell in that beautiful kalam of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Precise, concise, putting all these words that I've used for so long in explaining this event, putting it into a nutshell, into a few words, simple words, not difficult for man to understand. This is how Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala records this event. Says Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim, wa qulna ya Adam uskun anta wa zawjukal jannata wa kula minha ragadan haythu shi'tuma wa la taqrabu hadhihi ash-shajarata fatakuna minaz zalimin. Surah Baqarah, second surah of the Quran, ayat number 35. Exactly the same ayat is also recorded in Surah A'raf, 7th Surah of the Quran, number 19. Ayat number 19, Surah number 7. So in two places this event is recorded in the Quran Majid. In Surah Baqarah, 2nd Surah, ayat number 35. Surah A'raf, 7th Surah, ayat number 19. Which shows that it is of some importance. Not purely the event, but the message and the lesson that is contained in this event. And we said, says Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and Allah said, O Adam, dwell you and your wife in the garden of paradise, and eat in plenty therefrom, from wherever you want, but approach not this tree, or you will be of the wrongdoers, or you will be of the unjust peoples. And Allah says, Allah said, O Adam, ya waqulna ya Adam uskun anta wa zawjukal jannah, dwell you and your wife in the garden of paradise in Jannah, waqula minha ragadan haythu shi'tuma, and you can eat in plenty thereof from wherever you want in Jannah, whatever you want of its fruits. You can pluck off its flowers, you can rest in all the places of comfort that have been built for you in Jannah. You can wash yourselves in its streams, and you can stand under its fountains, and you can stretch yourselves under its shady places and enjoy all the comforts and the luxuries as described in the Quran Majid. All these you can enjoy at your pleasure. Everything in Jannah is at the disposal of the two of you. وَكُلَا مِنْهَا رَغَدًا حَيْسُ شِعْتُمَا. But, O Adam, وَلَا تَقْرَبَ هَذِهِ الشَّجَرَةَ فَتَكُونَا مِنَ الظَّالِمِينَ. But, O Adam, there is one condition, one stipulation, and that is, you must not, the two of you, must not approach this tree. or you will be the wrongdoers. This one tree here in Jannah, you must not approach it. You must not eat of it. Word the kalam of Allah, don't even approach it. You're not supposed to eat of the fruits of this tree. You're not supposed to touch this tree. So don't even think of approaching this tree. Subhanallah, if you cannot approach this tree, obviously, you are not supposed to eat of its fruit. Clear warning to Adam and Hawa alayhum as-salam. Adam alayhi salam. Adam saw the tree that was indicated to him by the divine hand. It seemed a pleasant enough tree. Adam couldn't see anything wrong with this tree. It wasn't ugly, it wasn't tortured. It didn't seem to be harming him in any way or harmful in any way. Its fruits looked very nice. It was neither thorny nor bushy nor hurtful in any way whatsoever. Rather, this tree held appeal and attraction. Adam, who had been blessed with the intelligence of a prophet by Allah Ta'ala, so that he could receive inspiration and divine revelation from Allah, could not comprehend why they should abstain from this tree. I mean, he's a human being, he has human intellect. He looks at this tree that has been pointed out to him from a distance, obviously. And do remember, in Jannah we have the sight and the vision of the heavenly peoples. Sight is not controlled in any way or affected in any way. Human vision and human sight in Jannah penetrates to vast distances, and it can see many things which are not discernible in the dunya. So with this heavenly eye, blessed by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in Jannah, they could see no harm coming from such a tree. Also, let me impress one point upon you at this stage. In Jannah, conversation with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is open. In other words, we call this an inspirational dialogue or conversation with Allah. It is inspiration. The speech of man in Jannah is conducted with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala by pure waves of inspiration. There is no intermediary. Man needs, the Anbiya's needed, an intermediary to convey to them the holy word of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Not always, but on most occasions. At other times it was pure inspiration without an intermediary between them, without a messenger in between them, who was Sayyidina Jibreel alayhi salatu wasalam. In Jannah, of course, there is no need for an intermediary unless so appointed by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. In Jannah, Jibreel alayhi salatu wasalam sometimes did come down to Adam. But at this particular stage, the stage at which we are discussing now, this was an inspirational dialogue between Adam and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So Adam alayhi salam, with the intelligence with which he was endowed by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, uses his intelligence, and he can't see any hurt or harm being arrived at from this particular tree, the fruits of which have been forbidden to him and to Hawa. He was further puzzled when told by Allah Ta'ala that Allah Ta'ala had bestowed this tree on him, but they should not eat of its fruit. We're coming to that just now, you'll understand. This is what he was informed by this inspirational dialogue. He was informed, this tree have I bestowed on you. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells Adam, this tree have I bestowed on you, but of its fruit you shall not eat. Amazed, astonished, and puzzled, what could Adam do? He asked Allah Ta'ala, O Allah, if you have bestowed this tree to me. He inquires, O Allah Ta'ala, you do not want me to eat of this tree. Why? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells him, but I have given, in putting it into our own words, Allah ta'ala tells him, but I have bestowed this tree on you. In other words, I have given this tree to you. O Adam, I have presented this tree to you. So Adam says, he asks Allah Ta'ala, O Allah, if you have bestowed, if you have presented this tree to me, why can I not eat of it? If this tree, you have given it as a gift to me, as the father of man. This is my words now. As the father of man, if you have given this tree to me as a gift and a present, why can't I eat of its fruit? Subhanallah. He was informed by divine message or divine inspiration that he was a guest of Allah Ta'ala, and a guest does not eat the food of his own house. The reply of Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala to this query of Adam: O Adam, in Jannah you are my guest, and you do not eat the fruit of your own house, the food of your own house, in the home of your host. So in Jannah belongs to Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala. Look already here, do you see the significance of this quote, of this saying? That already it is being clearly intimated by divine conversation or pointer to Adam that there is something very, very significant attached to this particular tree in Jannah. That, O Adam, I have given this tree to you as a present. I have bestowed this tree to you. But this tree doesn't belong to Jannah. It belongs to your home and your house, a place to which you are designated. Again, I'm interpreting and giving you the commentary of this. A place which I have designated as your final abode, as your resting place, as your dwelling place. This tree doesn't belong to Jannah, it belongs to earth. This is what is being intimated, if you understand what is meant. Anyway, the words here are, Allah Ta'ala informs Adam alayhi salam that this tree has been bestowed to Adam. Adam alayhi salam in turn asks, then, O Allah, if it is a present to me and a gift to me, why are you prohibiting me from eating of the fruits of this tree? Why cannot I touch the fruit of this tree? Why am I not supposed to go near this tree if it is my tree and you have given it to me and it's my present, O Allah? And this is the reply of Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala, that you are a guest of Allah, and a guest does not eat the food of his own house. Adam understood the logic of this, but not its meaning and not its purport. At that stage, Adam alayhi salam knew of no other place but Jannah. So he did not comprehend what was truly meant and what it signified. This was his house, Jannah in other words. And so he had been told by Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala, here he was to live with Hawa and eat of its fruits and of its plentiful, and here he must reside. What was meant by him being a guest of Allah Ta'ala? He wondered. He wondered in his mind what was meant by Allah by informing him that he was a guest of Allah Ta'ala in Jannah. Adam's consternation and his puzzlement increased even further when the following ideas and suggestions started coming to him in thought waves and motions, in various patterns into his mind. Remember, the mind of Adam is a newly created mind. In Jannah now, his mind, various thoughts enter his mind, exactly as they do on the human mind, which you and I have experienced on many occasions. Various suggestions come into our mind. One side of our mind tells us to do something, and another side of the mind tells us not to do it. One side of our mind tells us that this thing is very good, is very appealing. Another side of our mind tells us it is distasteful and we should keep away from it. One side of our mind attracts us to certain things, and the other side of the mind distracts us from certain things. All right? All these mental processes we go through in our mind. Now look what happens to our father, Adam, in Jannah. After this conversation, inspirational conversation with Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala, these are the thoughts that come into his mind, the various ideas, as recorded in the traditions. It goes as forth. Adam's consternation and puzzlement increased even further when the following ideas and suggestions started coming to him in thought waves and in thought motions and patterns. The one said, O Adam, do not eat of this tree. Another sound said, Adam, partake of this tree. I may mention here that at this stage, when these thoughts and ideas started entering the mind of Adam, at that time Adam was informed that this tree was the wheat tree, from which bread is made. Alright? So, The one said, O Adam, do not eat of the wheat tree. Another sound told him, Adam, partake of the wheat tree. One sound said, Adam, exercise patience. Another sound said, patience, do not go near Adam. One sound said, Iblis, tempt Hawa. Adam's fate, wish to know, fate itself. Obviously, do understand, patience takes on a form and a shape. Tolerance takes on a form and shape. Salah takes on form and shape. Zakat takes on form and shape. All the good deeds of man takes a form and shape. And all these things that man has carried out in obedience to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the world, they take on form and shape. How beautiful they are and how much nur there is in these a'mal, salihah of man, depends upon his sincerity and the amount, the quantity and the depth of his a'mal. For example, you have heard that in the qabr, these are the a'mal and the nur, or the anwarat, the plural of nur, the anwar of these a'mal that come and surround the body in the qabr. And they form a shield around that particular person. And for those who have recited various surahs of the Quran, Surah Yasin and so on, that it forms a nur which trajects from the grave of this person, from his qabr, into the heavens, and so forth and so on, alright? So, these take on shape and form. Now, Adam alayhi salam's patience was present, and so also all his other instincts and attributes were there with him. One sound said, Iblis tempt Hawa, Adam's fate, which is his qada, his qadr, in other words, his fate or his taqdeer, wish to know from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, O Allah, what does this mean? This that is carrying on with Adam at this moment of time, these various thoughts that are entering the mind of Adam, Adam's taqdeer wish to know, O Allah, what is the purport, what is the meaning of these various ideas and thoughts that are entering his mind? Fate, which is qada, was informed thereupon by Allah Ta'ala. There is divine wisdom and decree in this matter of Adam. Adam's taqdeer is being informed. There is divine wisdom and decree in this matter of Adam. He is to be sent from the garden of paradise to the garden of earth. There he will be made to accept my authority and to value my power, and so to praise and glorify me. Adam further heard this divine proclamation for true believers among his children at this stage. O true believers, abstain from evil and restrain yourselves from sin. O Iblis, present yourself in the world. O world, make yourself desirous in the hearts of men. O men, keep away from this world, from desiring this world, so that injustice and oppression, tyranny and cruelty may be replaced with truth and justice, with faithfulness and sincerity. For my mercy and my forgiveness is the greater. O Adam, beware the deceptions and the delusions of Shaitan, for he is your open enemy. After experiencing these inspirations, what we term internal exhortations. The first one to experience these internal exhortations was our father, the father of mankind, Adam alayhi salam. Adam alayhi salam was the first one. So brothers, this that we experience is part of man. After experiencing these inspirations and internal exhortations, Adam, who had been blessed by Allah Ta'ala with great aptitude, with great patience and forbearing, he felt better and more relieved. Allah Ta'ala, Adam alayhi salam now comes to these, he concludes as follows. Allah Ta'ala knows best. All praises belong to Allah. His is the wisdom and His is the knowledge. Man was His slave and man was His servant. The Quran Majid records this part of the story in the following words. I'm giving you the story and thereafter the words of the Quran. Says the Quran Pak, فَقُلْنَا يَا آدَمُ إِنَّ هَذَا عَدُوٌ لَكَ وَلِزَوْجِكَ فَلَا يُخْرِجَنَّكُمَا مِنَ الْجَنَّةِ فَتَشْقَى إِنَّ لَكَ عَلَّا تَجُوعَ فِيهَا وَلَا تَعْرَى وَأَنَّكَ لَا تَزْمَعُ فِيهَا وَلَا تَضْحَى. Surah Taha, 20th Surah of the Quran, Ayat number 117, 118 and 119, says Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then Allah said, فَقُلْنَا, then we said, says Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, to emphasize this story, or this section of the story, then we said, says Allah, O Adam, verily this shaitan is an open enemy to you and to your wife. Therefore, beware of shaitan, lest shaitan turn you out of this garden of paradise. For then you will be miserable, for then you will be a distressed person. Verily, we have made provision for you that you will not go hungry therein in Jannah, nor will you be naked in Jannah. And there is also provision for you that you will not thirst therein, nor will you suffer from the sun. End of this translation. Let's go over it again. And I have added a few words, repeated certain to make it clear, like shaitan, the word I've used 3-4 times in the translation, to make it clear what this translation is all about. Let's look at it again. It says Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then we said, O Adam, verily this shaitan is an open enemy to you and to your wife. Therefore beware of shaitan, lest he turn you out of the garden of paradise. For then you will be miserable. Verily, we have made provision that you will not go hungry in therein, nor will you be naked therein. And there is also provision for you that you will not thirst therein, nor will you suffer from the sun. Adam's first experience with shaitan was a bitter one. Recall for a moment that part of the story of Adam. Shaitan had sworn vengeance on the children of Adam, and Adam was no less a target of Shaitan. Shaitan had promised to lurk in stealth and to ambush Adam and his progeny wherever and whenever he could, and to use whatever devices, whatever guiles and whatever plans he could to subvert and to seduce Adam and Hawa, alayhum assalam. The mission of Shaitan would be to turn men away from the worship of one Allah, from the remembrance of one Allah, and he would use everything in his power, everything in his grasp, and everything within his means to do so. In Jannah, Adam felt safe and secure from Shaitan. But here he was being warned by Allah Ta'ala, as is clearly stated in this ayah that I recited earlier from Surah Taha. In Jannah, Adam felt safe and secure from Shaitan, but here he was being warned by Allah Ta'ala that if he were turned out of Jannah, then Shaitan would be the cause. He's in Jannah, and in this ayah, he's being warned by divine message, by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, as recorded in the Quran, that, O Adam, be careful, Shaitan is your enemy, and Shaitan may be the cause of your departure from Jannah. Adam is also being told by Allah Ta'ala that everything is provided for their need and for their comfort in Jannah. So they have no reason to break any law or go beyond any rule. There is enough food, enough to drink, enough clothing and enough shelter for them in Jannah. These four are the basic essentials that man needs to survive. Perturbed by this divine notice, Adam checked out the doors of Jannah and he found them to be all well guarded by the malaikas, by the angels, and he found all the doors of Jannah to be locked. Adam knew when he found that all the doors are locked and the angels are guarding the various doors of Jannah, and Adam knew that Shaitan had been thrown out of Jannah into the world earlier, and he felt satisfied and contented that Shaitan could not reach him here in Jannah. Furthermore, he did not bear Shaitan any grudge, nor did Shaitan have reason to consider him, to consider Adam as an open enemy. So why and how would Shaitan begrudge him and try to induce him to eat of the forbidden tree? These are Adam's mind is working. I mean, I have done no harm to Shaitan. What have I done to him? I have not harmed him in any way. So therefore, I mean, what danger and what threat do I have to fear from Shaitan? And in any case, Shaitan can't enter Jannah. Shaitan can't come in here. There are guards at the doors of Jannah, and the Jannah doors are locked. So how will he penetrate and how will he come into Jannah? So I am safe from him. And thought Adam, if Shaitan does succeed in whispering evil suggestions to me, I will simply ignore his evil suggestions and I will not fall for his temptations. Adam realized that this tree would be the only way for them to breach the divine law. What else, what other law could Adam break in Jannah? He was in the absolute worship of one Allah, and everything he did was for the sake of one Allah. And he continuously praised Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, adored Allah, and devoted himself to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in Jannah in every way. There is no form of disobedience in Jannah to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Excepting for this one, this particular tree, Adam realized very clearly that the only way he could break a law, or break a command of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, was by approaching this tree and by breaking the rule that had been made by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the law that he will not eat of the fruit and she will not eat of the fruit of this particular tree. Shaitan in the meantime, now you listen to this story, then I will give you the ayat of the Quran wherein it is contained. Shaitan in the meantime was already scheming and plotting the downfall of Adam and of Hawa alayhum assalam. The only way to achieve this would be to get them out of Jannah. And this was no easy task. He resolved to do it, however. He was determined to do it, however. Shaitan recited three great attributes of Allah Ta'ala. Now at this stage, let me remind you of something that we have already dealt with, but merely a recall to preface what is to follow. Shaitan recited three great sifats, three great zikrs, three great attributes of Allah Ta'ala, which was in his knowledge. Remember, he had worshipped Allah Ta'ala for thousands of years before his transgression and subsequent removal from Jannah. So Shaitan had an excellent knowledge of what pleased Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Remember also that his knowledge of Allah ta'ala was so vast and so accurate that he had become an instructor of this knowledge to the malaikas in Jannah, whereto he had been elevated because of his worship of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. By reciting these three great attributes of Allah ta'ala, Shaitan brought into effect a formula whereby his request, his dua to be raised through the heavens was granted by Allah Ta'ala. And he thus went through the seven heavens and arrived at the doors of Jannah. He found all the doors of Jannah closed. Shaitan sat down outside the doors of Jannah and he started scheming how best he could enter paradise to deceive Adam and Hawa alayhum assalam. A door is for entrance or for exit, or and for exit. Someone, concluded Shaitan, someone or something was bound to come in or out of the door of Jannah. And Shaitan would bide his time until such an opportunity arose, and then use his immense knowledge of the deviousness, and then use his immense knowledge and his deviousness to work his way into Jannah. Remember that Shaitan knew Jannah very well, for he had lived in Jannah for a long time. For thousands of years he had already lived in Jannah. He was well acquainted with Jannah. Do bear that in mind. As he lay in wait, he saw a peacock on a wall of Jannah. The peacock heard Shaitan reciting one of the great attributes of Allah Ta'ala. Shaitan then, disguising himself as a wise and learned angel, started to make aloud the zikr of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And this peacock's attention was caught by the zikr in which shaitan was engaging himself outside the doors of Jannah. The peacock inquired, wished to know from shaitan who he was. Shaitan replied that he was an angel. The peacock accepted his word and wanted to know why he was sitting outside Jannah. Shaitan said, I am looking at Jannah and I am anxious to go inside. The peacock said, I have no instructions from Allah Ta'ala to take anyone into Jannah as long as Adam is in Jannah, in paradise. In his most persuasive and pleading voice, the arch deceiver said, obviously he's disguised so the peacock cannot make out that it is shaitan. In his most persuasive and pleading voice, the arch deceiver said, lead me into Jannah and I will give you such a recipe, such a formula, such a dua that whosoever recites it and acts on it will receive three fantastic favors from Allah. Such a one who recites this dua, such a one will not age, such a one will not grow old, firstly. Secondly, such a one will not experience death. And thirdly, such a one will remain forever and forever in Jannah. I mean, who is going to, I ask you now, who is going to, if you are offered such a dua, who is going to leave it? Shaitan is very clever, brothers. Shaitan, to prove his point, and he knew these du'as, brothers. Look at the du'a he recited from earth, to which he had been sent down by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, get you down to earth. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had ordered him from earth. He knew what to recite, what du'as to recite, what names of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to take, the Ismi Azam, whereby he was raised through the seven heavens to the doors of Jannah in the seventh heaven. He knew. Here again he knows this dua, and as a result of this dua he assures the peacock that the peacock will not age, peacock will not die, and the peacock will remain eternally in Jannah. Shaitan then recited this dua and the peacock was highly satisfied with this secret knowledge and considered it very valuable. The peacock decided to help Shaitan, whom he considered to be a learned and a wise favored angel. So he took him to the front of the portals, which means the front of the entrance of Jannah, the portals of Jannah. On the inside of the gate lay a snake of Jannah, and the peacock related to the snake the story of the learned angel, actually Shaitan, you and I know that, on the outside, who wished to enter Jannah. The snake peered out of the gate and saw Shaitan. The snake asked him, who are you and where do you come from? What brings you here? Why do you sit here and recite these great names of Allah Ta'ala? Shaitan said, I am one of the angels of the angels of Allah Ta'ala. The snake said, teach me that dua that you have taught the peacock. Shaitan said, all right, I will teach it to you. I will teach you that dua on condition that you take me inside Jannah. The snake said, but I have no permission from Allah Ta'ala to take anybody inside Jannah as long as Adam is in there. Shaitan said, but I will not place my foot in Jannah. I will remain inside your mouth. I will not emerge from it. These words seemed to assure the snake that it would perhaps not be contravening any rules by taking Shaitan in to Jannah in this way, by taking him inside his mouth. The snake was also desperate to learn the secret dua for longevity of life and eternity in Jannah. The snake therefore emerged from the gate. Then the snake opened its mouth and Shaitan slipped inside the mouth of the snake, and the snake went into Jannah in this way, carrying Shaitan in its mouth unnoticed by the guards, the malaikas that were guarding the gates of Jannah, which were then locked behind them. Shaitan whispered to the snake to take him to the tree which was forbidden by Allah Ta'ala for Adam to eat. The snake made its way to the forbidden tree. With great pretense and imposture, Shaitan began weeping in the snake's mouth. Note that shaitan thus becomes the first creation of Allah Ta'ala to cry with deceit and with guile. The weeping and sobbing of shaitan in the mouth of the snake attracted the servants of Allah Ta'ala in Jannah, who are the pious, the pure, and the virtuous inmates of paradise. For man in paradise, there are many servants to serve the interests of those who will enter Jannah. They are there, they clean Jannah, they look after Jannah, they shine and clean and clear and brush and all the rest of it. There are hadiths that report that they are continuously keeping Jannah in order and in shape and pure for those who are going to enter paradise. This should give you an idea. This should give us an idea, we that are humankind, that even though man may consider that he lives on earth for millions of years, it is simply a kun fayakun to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Our life on earth, our history seems very, very long, running into millions and billions of years. But in fact, it is just one atom in time, 1 second in time. Man's life, from the beginning of time to the end of time, from the beginning of creation to the end of creation, may seem to us to run into billions of years. But in time span, it is merely 1 second. Plus one little atom, that's all. This is why the ahadith report and record almost as if Qiyamah will be tomorrow, will be at any moment. Sayyidina Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, you are aware when the wind blew fast and when there was thunder and lightning, and immediately Sayyidina Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam used to pace, walk up and down, and sweat used to break out on his brow. And when questioned by Sayyidina Aisha radiallahu ta'ala anha and the Sahaba ikram, he would say that he fears the imminent arrival of Qiyamah. Alright, in his lifetime he feared the arrival of Qiyamah. He has warned us and told us in so many different ways and advised us that await the arrival of Qiyamah at any moment. And the fact that he is Khatimul Anbiya, Khatimul Nabiyyin, means that the end of time is very close to us. What I'm saying basically here is that these inmates or servants of paradise who are cleaning paradise and purifying it and keeping it ready, in a readiness for those who are going to enter paradise, they became excited when they heard the weeping and crying of the snake. The weeping and sobbing of shaitan in the mouth of the snake attracted the servants of Allah Ta'ala in Jannah, who are the pious, the pure, and the virtuous inmates of paradise. They had often seen the snake in Jannah, resplendent and studded with glittering jewels that were embedded in its body, walking about in a beautiful manner, a most graceful walk the snake had. And it was stunning in its beauty, in its grace. It is only when, by the way, in a note I've added here, that it's only when the snake was removed from Jannah, as we will learn later, that it lost its beautiful shape and body, and the various gems that embedded its body naturally. So it was created by Allah Ta'ala, and thereafter, after its removal from Jannah, did it start to crawl and slither about. Let's get back to our point. But they had never heard, these inmates of paradise had never heard it crying and weeping in this way before. They had never heard anything like it before, in fact. Amazed, they drew closer to the snake. Adam and Hawa, alayhum as-salam, also came near to the snake on hearing it crying out so desperately. They asked the snake why it was crying. Shaitan replied to them from inside the mouth of the snake, I am, in other words, shaitan now is occupying the body of the snake. And the snake said, or actually shaitan said, I am crying for it has come to my knowledge that you are going to be taken out of Jannah. You have been forbidden the fruit of this tree, but the fact of the matter is that whoever eats its fruit will remain eternally in Jannah and never be taken out of it. Shaitan wept and sobbed even further to show his grief and sorrow. And they were thoroughly disconcerted and disturbed by his anguish and his pity for them. The snake seemed genuine and sincere to them. Why? They thought to themselves, why would the snake have any reason whatsoever to deceive them? Both of them, the snake and Adam and Hawa alayhum assalam, both were dwellers in Jannah, where none harmed one another. The distress of the snake, therefore, as far as they were concerned, was harmless, and it was true. The snake was being truly sincere to them and really wished them well. The Quran Majid records this part of the story as follows. Now comes the ayat of the Quran surrounding this particular part of the story that I've given you. Says Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, فَوَسْوَسَ إِلَيْهِ الشَّيْطَانِ قَالَ يَا آدَمُ هَلْ أَدُلُّكَ عَلَى شَجَرَةِ الْخُلْدِ وَمُلْكٍ لَا يَبُلَى. Surah Taha, 20th Surah of the Quran, ayat number 120. But Shaitan whispered evil suggestions to him, saying, O Adam, shall I guide you to the tree of eternity? And shall I guide you to the kingdom that never ages? Look at the story in the mouth of Shaitan, occupying the body of Shaitan. What does Shaitan tell Adam and Hawa alayhum assalam? He tells them the following words. He says, I am crying. You have now come to me and you are surrounding me and you are asking me why I am crying in this manner and why I am sobbing in this manner, why I am crying so and weeping so bitterly. I'll tell you why. I am crying for it has come to my knowledge that you are going to be taken out of Jannah. You have been forbidden the fruit of this tree. But the fact of the matter is that whoever eats the fruit of this tree will remain eternally in Jannah and never be taken out of it. And that is why I am crying. O Adam and O Hawa, I am crying for your sakes because I am concerned about your welfare, your safety. You know you want to continue remaining, you want to remain forever in Jannah. I am equally concerned with you. We are friends, we are brothers in Jannah. One worries about the other. I have great compassion for you and I understand your need, but you will have to eat of the fruit of this tree if you want to remain here. This is why Allah Ta'ala has forbidden you its fruit. So this is how the Quran reports this incident. It says, فَوَسْوَسَ إِلَيْهِ الشَّيْطَانُ قَالَ يَا آدَمُ هَلْ أَدُلُّكَ عَلَى شَجَرَةِ الْخُلْدِ وَمُلْكٍ لَا يَبْلَى. But Shaitan whispered evil suggestions to him, saying, O Adam, shall I guide you to the tree of eternity and to a kingdom that never ages? These early attempts at instigation by Shaitan were unsuccessful. Shaitan does not give up so easily, however. He kept pestering them with whispers and suggestion. Shaitan, in the mouth of the snake, or occupying the body of the snake, now goes around. Everywhere where Adam and Hawa go in Jannah, he follows them. He pesters them. He continues. The earlier suggestions which I mentioned now of Shaitan and the instigations to subvert them and seduce them and to make them, coerce them into eating and persuade them to eating of this tree. Did not succeed. His earlier moves did not succeed. So this is what he does now. He keeps pestering them. Here, brothers, is actually the story of how Shaitan goes on with us. How Shaitan follows us. How Shaitan instigates us. How Shaitan puts evil suggestions into us. How Shaitan tempts us. How Shaitan eventually lures us, beckons us, snares us, and seduces us. The Quran, the stories of the Quran are not there purely for reading, for historical interest and value. They are there so that we may derive lessons from them. Here Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is informing mankind of how Shaitan goes about deceiving man. He kept pestering them with whispers and suggestions, following them, tempting them, taunting them, and even tormenting them. He was a persistent devil and a pernicious one. He would go to the one of them, and then he would go to the other. He would go to Adam separately when he was resting, and he would go to Hawa And then if they are together, he would go, and sometimes he would go to both of them. And the Quran Majid says as follows regarding how Shaitan pestered them, followed them, tempted them, and tried to seduce them. In the following words, the Quran Pak says, فَوَسْوَسَ لَهُمَا فَوَسْوَسَ لَهُمَا الشَّيْطَانُ لِيُبَدِيَ لَهُمَا مَا وُرِيَ عَنْهُمَا مِنْ سَوْعَاتِهِمَا وَقَالَ مَا نَهَاكُمَا رَبُّكُمَا أَنْ هَذِهِ الشَّجَرَةِ إِلَّا أَنْ تَكُونَ مَلَكَيْنِ أَوْ تَكُونَ من الخالدين. Surah A'raf, 7th Surah of the Quran, ayat number 20, says Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala about and regarding this fascinating story, says Allah ta'ala, and Shaitan whispered evil suggestions to the both of them, that he might make known to them that which lay hidden from them of their shame. And he, Shaitan, said, your sustainer has not forbidden you this tree, but that by eating it you should become angels, or that you become immortals. Subhanallah. Look at the detail that the Quran provides us with. This must be a very important story, eh? This must be a very, very important story for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to give us so many details about this part of how Shaitan goes about influencing and manipulating man. Isn't this what he does to us in the world? And Shaitan whispered evil suggestions to Adam and Hawa. فَوَسْوَسَ لَهُمَا. And the لَهُمَا here stands for Adam and Hawa. وَسَ لَهُمَا. And the لَهُمَا here stands for Adam and Hawa. فَوَسْوَسَ. Who of us doesn't know the meaning of waswas? فَوَسْوَسَ لَهُمَا شَيْطَان. فَوَسْوَسَ لَهُمَا شَيْطَانُ. And look at the intention of Iblis, of Shaitan. فَوَسْوَسَ لَهُمَا الشَّيْطَانُ لِيُبْدِيَ لَهُمَا مَا وُرِيَ عَنْهُمَا مِنْ سَوْآتِهِمَا. Subhanallah. Quran. Allahu Akbar, says the Quran, says Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and Shaitan whispered evil suggestions to the both of them. For what reason? Says Allah ta'ala, that he might make known to them that which lay hidden from them of their shame. Subhanallah. That he might make known to them about their bodies, about the passion and the emotions to which their body is subject, about the desires that come into their bodies, about how the emotions and passions of man are aroused. He wanted to make this known to Adam and Hawa, alayhum as-salam. And Shaitan whispered evil suggestion to them both, that he might make known to them that which lay hidden from them of their bodies, of their shame. And says Allah Ta'ala, وَقَالَ مَا نَهَاكُمَا رَبُّكُمَا أَنْ هَذِهِ الشَّجَرَةِ. And he, Shaitan, said, your sustainer has not forbidden you this tree, but that by eating of this tree, you should become angels. Illa an takuna malakaini, aw takuna min al-khalidin. But that by eating of the fruits of this tree, you should become angels, malaikas, or that you become immortals, and as immortals, you live forever and forever, khalidina fiha, forever and forever in Jannah. Now, I'll give you the comment of this particular ayah, and we will come to an end for today with the lesson and continue next week from there. This is the commentary of this particular ayat of the Quran. Adam and Hawa were adorned in the clothing of Jannah. Remember, in the raiment of Jannah, in the apparel of Jannah, in the garments and the clothing of Jannah. Subhanallah, can any human mind conceive and imagine how beautiful the garment of Jannah must have been? Adam and Hawa were adorned in the clothing of Jannah, a dressing so magnificent, so full of nur, so resplendent, and so graceful and elegant, that Shaitan could not digest it. He couldn't absorb it. He looked at man, he hated man. He looked at Adam, he hated Adam. He looked at Hawa, he was jealous of Hawa. He hated her. He bore deep grudge for man. So he looks at Adam and Hawa in this beautiful, full of nur clothing that they had on. And he couldn't take this. It hurt him no end. He had seen the naked form of Adam when it was still lifeless. But now he could hardly recognize Adam. Shaitan knew that the splendid garments worn by Adam and Hawa were restricted to Jannah because they were the clothing of Jannah and that they could never be taken out of Jannah. If his plan to take Adam and Hawa out of Jannah succeeded, then their apparel, their clothing, their garments, their raiments would also be removed from their bodies and they would be turned naked by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He had to entice them first to eat of the forbidden fruit. He kept telling them that they would become angels and that they would live forever in paradise if they ate of this fruit, the fruit of this forbidden tree. In other words, Shaitan was clearly suggesting to them that by not eating of the fruit of this tree, they would eventually be turned out of Jannah by Allah Ta'ala, and that their stay here, their sojourn in Jannah, was a temporary one. The desire of Adam and Hawa was to stay permanently in Jannah, and Shaitan's suggestions that such eternity could be achieved by eating the fruit of the forbidden tree was a very tempting and a very alluring and a very inviting one for Adam and Hawa. As angels, they would dwell in Jannah forever. Adam and Hawa knew that they are human beings, that they are not angels. So they also knew that angels live in Jannah forever. And this was their desire, that what formula, by which action can we please Allah Ta'ala to such an extent that we live in Jannah for eternity? We don't want to go out of Jannah. And this is the device that Shaitan is using in order to subvert and to seduce them. The knowledge that he has that Adam and Hawa want to be turned into angels. So he is tempting with them. Eat the fruit and you will become angels. This is his scheme. So Adam could resist at this stage of our story by his continuous pestering. Adam could resist this invitation, this temptation of Shaitan, but Hawa was slowly cracking. She was slowly bending and slowly inclining to Shaitan's evil suggestion. Her fear was greater about leaving Jannah and going into some unknown destiny. The plant itself appeared harmless and quite attractive to them. The wheat plant that grew in Jannah has been referred to as a tree with fruit. Brothers, I'm not going to go into that. We will do from there onwards next week, inshallah. It's a description of the tree, the forbidden tree, and thereafter all the things that transpired while Adam and Jannah were in Jannah, and the eventual cause of their removal from Jannah, and then we'll take up their story on earth and their earliest children and what transpired thereafter before we move on to another chapter, the last chapter of our lesson, the conversation. Tamaf. Before that, we will have various stories of how Shaitan tried to tempt the Anbiya's of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Thereafter, there's 10 stories in there, and then there's 10 stories of how Shaitan tempted and seduced man, the non-prophets, and after that, the story of the conversation between Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and Shaitan, inshallah. Jazakumullah. Wa akhiru da'wana anil hamdulillahi rabbil alameen.